Reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, looking at verse 20 and 21. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful service. Your presence has permeated this service today from the start to this point, and we believe to the end. Asking you now, God, for a special anointing upon this word, upon my heart, Lord, as I bring this word to your people, God. Lord, help your people to understand I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not angry at anyone, Lord, except the devil. But today, God, I pray that this word will penetrate our hearts, Lord, and will help to give direction to our lives, Lord, in these perilous times that we live, God. And Lord, we will thank you in advance for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For the most part, we've grown up hearing words like, be calm, don't panic. Please move calmly to the nearest exit. Don't run, walk. I know that those words are important. I know that in a fire, in an earthquake, in a tornado, or another kind of disaster or tragedy, it's important to remain calm. It's important to keep our heads and to not panic, but calmly, rationally think and process the situation and the options that are available to us. And it's not only important to ourselves, but it's also important to the safety and the well-being of others around us. And friend, I can appreciate that. I remember in grammar school, we would have fire drills. And it was for that very purpose, to teach us how to remain calm under pressure. How to move calmly out of our classrooms. No running allowed, they would tell us. And we would walk calmly in single file out into the schoolyard, away from what could be a potential fire. Most assuredly, in the situation such as I've described to you, I would be doing everything that I could in my power to help people remain calm, to avoid a state of panic or frenzy. But you know, as I began to study the Word of God, as I began praying and meditating on the Word of God, I began to hear something in my spirit. Roshataya. Can you just lift your hands for just a minute and ask the Holy Spirit to help us today? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I begin to hear the words in my spirit, four words, and I'm going to share them with you. Four words came forcibly to my spirit, and they were impressed on my mind. And I've heard these words ringing in my spirit for the last few days. And I feel that it's not just a sermon to be preached, but it's a warning to be sounded. And I feel that God, in His mercy, is sending advance warning to anyone who will listen. See, I've got many messages and sermons that I could preach, and I've got an agenda as a pastor. I have a course that I believe the Holy Spirit has me on, but I've got to tell you that I believe the Holy Spirit has preempted and interrupted my agenda for a special announcement. You could call it breaking news, an emergency warning, a special bulletin, whatever you want to call it. It's important enough to the Holy Spirit that He interrupted our scheduled broadcast to bring to us breaking news from heaven. And it goes like this, my friend. It goes like this. The storm is about to hit. The storm is about to hit. I thank God, living in Oklahoma, they've got great weather warning systems. And I thank God for it. And some, in California, they're developing better radar and better warning systems. But I got to tell you, the storm is about to hit. And we are heaven's radar warning system. Sometimes preachers have sounded the alarm, and true prophets have sounded out the warning. And many of them have been criticized and ridiculed. Many of them were rejected by the church in general. And the truth is, friend, you may criticize me and you may ridicule me, but I don't care. I've got to sound the alarm. The storm is about to hit. Now, I said it that way because there's going to be many facets, many different waves, many different tragedies, many different manifestations, but it's the same storm, the indignation, the wrath of God. It's going to hit us financially. It's going to hit our economy. It's going to hit us socially. We haven't even seen the tip of the iceberg of racial violence and rebellion against authority that's coming. The storm is coming. There are multitudes of people right now, my friend, who are walking around in a catatonic state like zombies, oblivious to the signs and the warnings, oblivious to the tremors and the rising tide. America is shaking her fist at God. America is spitting in the face of God. America has kicked God out of the schoolhouse, and now America has kicked God out of the White House. But I'm telling you, my friend, everything that has happened on foreign soils across the seas is shortly coming to America. It's coming to America. I'm not saying it with any joy or pride, but I'm telling you the truth. Suicide bombers, car bombers, mass murders, Christian persecution, Christians being martyred for their faith, pestilences, diseases, earthquakes, tornadoes, tsunamis, floods, ice storms, stars falling from the sky. It is coming to America. And it seems that the majority of the Christian world is asleep. It seems that the majority of the Christian world is in a stupor. They've been seduced into a false sense of security. They're in a religiously induced state of nirvana, an altered state of mind, bliss, delight, peace, Shangri-La, like zombies with a big smile on their faces, but completely disconnected from reality. They say, isn't it wonderful? They've shoved Obamacare down our throats. Isn't it wonderful? We've made a nuclear deal with Iran. Isn't it wonderful Johnny and Tommy can finally be married? Isn't it wonderful they're stepping all over our Second Amendment rights to bear arms and defend ourselves? Oh, isn't it wonderful King Obama? He doesn't need the Constitution of the United States of America. He just makes his own laws because he knows what's best for us. Isn't it wonderful you can finally buy baby parts and you don't have to go to the black market? Oh, what a wonderful world we live in. Oh, if I want to call myself a female, even though I was born with the anatomy of a male, I can do that. And if you verbally disagree with me, you can be fined $250,000. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful adult males can use the same bathroom as adolescent females? And vice versa, isn't it wonderful? Oh, what a wonderful world we live in. Isn't it wonderful that what the Bible calls sodomy and sin and an abomination to God is now honored by the White House, or I should say Rainbow House? It's now protected by the law of our land. Oh yeah, it won't be long. There won't be any such thing as pedophiles. There'll be no such thing as sexual harassment. There'll be no such thing as rape. No, my friend, just like Pharaoh or just like Nero fiddled while Rome burned, the zombies are walking around fiddling, playing their tune of Nirvana while America burns. And the worst part of it all, my friend, is this. We can't blame it on the devil, and we can't blame it on liberals, and we can't blame it on evil people. The fact of the matter is, the buck stops here. It's the preachers. It's the prophets. He said, my prophets prophesy falsely. He said, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. My friend, it's the church. It's the church. It's the pulpit. We've got to blame it on spineless preachers. We've got to blame it on preachers who became more concerned about money and about crowds and popularity and big churches than preaching the truth and rebuking sin and lifting up the standard of holiness. More concerned about being politically correct than being biblically correct. More concerned about making people happy than making people holy. I want you to like me. I go to lengths for you to like me. But my ambition and my assignment is not to get people to like me. It's to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to rebuke sin. It's to heal the brokenhearted. It's to deliver the bound and the oppressed. My assignment is to help you live such a life as you are ready for heaven. If you're shacking up, you're sinning. Yeah. Sleeping together, not married, it's called fornication. If you're having sexual relationship with the same sex, you're sinning. The Bible calls it an abomination. Homosexuality, lesbianism, it's an abomination. If you're having sexual relationship with someone other than your husband and your wife, it's called adultery. It's sin. If you're a drunkard, you're sinning. If you're into pornography, you're sinning. If you're a pedophile, you're sinning. If you're abusive, you're sinning. If you're a liar or a thief, if you hate your brother, your sister, if you got lust in your heart, you're sinning. The Bible said the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. I know it's not popular. And I know they're trying to tell us today there's not even no such thing as hell. But Jesus said there was. And Jesus said there's a fire there that cannot be quenched. And anyone who goes there never leaves. It's called eternal judgment. And I say this in love, but I say it boldly. I don't care how much grace you put on the sinner. If the sinner does not repent, that soul will spend eternity in hell. Because grace does not erase sin. It's the blood of Jesus that takes away our sin. And the blood of Jesus erases sin from the heart that repents and turns to God. You say, preacher, you'll never be popular preaching like that. You'll never make friends preaching like that. My friend, I don't care about being popular. I don't care about pleasing men. The only applause I want to hear is I want to hear the master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. Some people say, you sound like one of those old dinosaurs who used to preach hellfire and damnation. Well, if you mean I'm preaching heaven real and hell hot, if you mean I preach against sin, if you mean I tell people that without holiness they won't make heaven, then I take that as a compliment. Because I don't have any choice. I'm bought with a price. I don't belong to myself. I can't preach my own opinions. I've got to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:3 said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they're like a dog looking for someone to scratch them behind the ears to make them feel good. And then he says they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I'm going to tell you something, friend. I don't care who you are or where you go to church, including right here. If all you ever get is your ears tickled and you never feel convicted and your heart is never pricked and you never feel the need or desire to repent for anything, you better get out of that place as fast as you can. Because anywhere the uncompromised, unadulterated, undiluted truth of the gospel is preached, there will be Holy Ghost conviction. You say, Pastor, what are the four words God spoke to you? This is what this whole message is. We read it again, my text. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Pastor, what are the four words the Holy Ghost told you to tell us? We want to know. I'm going to tell you, my friend, here's what he told me. Run to the ark. Run to the ark. I was sitting in the house the other day. And all of a sudden, I knew something in my spirit. I knew 2016 is going to be the worst year we have ever seen. Wickedness and evil and perverseness like we have never imagined is going to be released in 2016. There's been a little bit of opening, and we've seen it. We would say that was horrible. But let me, friend, you haven't seen anything. You haven't seen anything. The plug is coming out. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I am trying to make you aware of some truths today. It is going to be wicked. And I heard the Holy Spirit right behind that revelation, right behind that quickening, that things were going to get so dark and so gross and so perverse. Right behind it, I heard the Holy Spirit say, run to the ark. Don't walk. Don't sit around trying to calmly rationalize your decision. Don't worry about starting a panic around you. This is the time when you don't have time to be calm and tranquil and relaxed. This is the time when you let go of everything and you run to the ark. In Pilgrim's Progress, if you've never read that book, you should read it. It's one of the greatest Christian classics that's ever been penned by men who was a true man of God who was in prison for his faith. And he wrote an allegory of the Christian life, and he talked about a young man and called him young. He called him Christian. And Christian heard evangelists tell him that he was living in the city of destruction. And when he found out that he was living in the city of destruction, and this city was marked for destruction, he left everything. Christian left everything. He left his wife. He left his children. He left everything. He started running down the street to get out of the city of destruction as fast as he could go. In his mind, he saw meteorites falling out of the sky and destroying the city behind him. And he was running down the street, and his wife was out there saying, Christian, where are you going? Christian, come back. Christian, come back. You don't have to go. I'll change. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll be a better wife. Christian, you don't have to go. We'll make it more accommodating for you. Others were trying to grab him on his way out of town, and they call him crazy, and they said, what are you doing, man? You look like a crazy man out here. But I'm telling you what, Christian had his conscience awakened. He recognized that he was living in a city that was marked for destruction, that sin had marked that city for destruction, and he was running for the celestial city. Hallelujah. My friend, that's how serious it is. Sin has marked this world for destruction, and the only safe place is in the ark. You've got to run to the ark. The ark. Run to the ark. The ark for you and me today is the cross. The protection for us today. It's not pitch like they pitched the ark in the Bible days, but it's the blood of Jesus. It's mercy, my friend. Mercy is standing in the door today, in the door of grace, and mercy is holding open the door of grace. But can I tell you, judgment is leaning heavy against the door, and very soon mercy will make her last call, and very soon mercy will yield to judgment, and only those who are in the ark will be safe. Run to the ark. I'm not talking about a casual connection to a church somewhere. I'm not talking about the fact that you call yourself Protestant and that makes you saved. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Enter into thy chambers. Shut the doors about thee. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Just as the flood of God's judgment came upon the earth because of the wickedness and the sins of mankind, in Noah's day, we are on the same track, and the wrath of God, the indignation of God, is being kindled. And any preacher, any spiritual leader who does not sound the alarm is failing. They're falling short, and they're failing as a spiritual watchman. You say, friend, you say, Pastor, are you trying to scare me? No, my friend, I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to wake up an urgency in you. I'm trying to wake up an alertness in you and make you realize there is no time for slacking off. This is no time for becoming lazy and half-hearted and indifferent. This is no time for hit and miss attendance. This is no time for deciding what you can do without. Well, I don't need to go to Sunday school or Sunday night, but I'll go to Sunday worship for sure. And maybe depending on how I feel, I might go on a Wednesday night, or I'll go ahead and go Sunday night, but not Wednesday. After all, no one expects me to come to all those services. And besides that, isn't one service about the same as the other? Friend, if that's your attitude, I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid for you. Lack of desire to be in church is one of the most revealing evidences that you're growing cold in your spirit. When your spirit is hot, you want to be in the house of God. When your spirit is close to Him, you want to be in the house of God. You won't look at it and say, well, it'll be there next week. My friend, it might not be there next week. You don't know how long those doors are going to be open. You don't know how long we're going to have the freedom to come here together and worship God. You don't know how long you're going to have the privilege to hold a Bible in your hand and thumb through the pages of it and read along with a preacher and see if he's telling you the truth or not. You don't know how long you're going to have, my friend. It's time to run to the ark. Amen. Run back to your prayer closet. Run back to spend the time in the Word. Run back to the altar. Not just on a church night or a Sunday morning, but as a way of life. Run back to the altar. Run back to faithfulness to church. Run back to the presence of God. Run to the ark. I was in a service many, many years ago with a man named A.A. Allen. Some people didn't care for him. He was a little, maybe they say, cocky. One time he said, I've got more power in my shirt tail than the whole organization of such and such. Well, that could be debated, but it is true that people got healed, delivered, miracles, devils came out. People got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Miracles happened in his meetings all the time. One time he decided he was going to do the Peter thing, and he said, bring that man, he's got cancer, he's dying, he's in the last stages of cancer. He said, bring that man on that stretcher up here. He said, I'm going to walk by. He made sure that the light was shining on him. He said, I'm going to walk by. My shadow's going to come over him, and he's going to be healed. But he made sure that light was shining just right, so his shadow came down where that man was. They brought that man. You can find it on YouTube. They brought that man. Some of these miracles are on YouTube. I'm telling you, powerful. They brought him up there and put that stretcher right out there in front of him. The wife, the others, the family, sister, whoever was it, caretaking. And there he was, and a man of God walked by. When he walked by, his shadow fell on him. And when his shadow fell on him, he told me, he said, now get up in the name of Jesus. The man got up off of that stretcher. He said, I'm hungry. They brought him a carton of milk and some kind of sandwich, and he sat right down there and ate it. A man who couldn't eat, a man whose body wouldn't process food anymore, a man. And I'm going somewhere with this. That same man, I was in a service with that man one day. He made an altar call, and when he made an altar call, he made hell real, a place you didn't want to go. He made people understand that you don't have the promise of tomorrow, you've got right now. When he made that altar call, he said, I'm going to count to three. And he said, that was the way he made altar calls, and I want you to come. And he said, I mean
come. He said, I don't mean walk, I mean run. He said, people, get out of the aisles. Nobody's standing in the aisles. He said, because when I count three, he said, people are going to come running and screaming down these aisles. He said, man, that's a little extreme. My friend, if you think you're dying, and you think you're living in the city of destruction, it's getting ready to be destroyed any second. And you understand that the door of mercy, the door of grace is being held open by mercy, and it could close in a moment. And he counted one. And he talked a little bit and talked about people who had put off the call and had rejected the call. Have you ever been in a service where the Holy Spirit made the last call? My friend, it's one of the scariest things I've ever experienced in my life. When the Holy Spirit pleads with a soul for the last time. This is real. It's not a game. It's heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between holding place. My friend, when you draw your last breath, you don't get another chance. There's no reincarnation. You get to try to keep coming back until you get it right. My friend, when that last breath is drawn, it's over. When that heart beats the last time, it's over. You're either, as the tree falleth, so shall it lie. You're either with God in heaven or you're in hell with the devil. And you're either going to spend eternity with God in a place called heaven with all the beauty and glory of heaven, or you're going to spend eternity in torment in hell. That's the Bible. Do I like that? I don't like that part about it. I don't like telling anybody that they'll go to hell. They don't know Jesus. They don't receive His salvation, His mercy, and His grace, but it's truth. I love telling them about heaven. I love telling them about the privilege. I love telling them about if you receive Jesus, you can have eternal life and you can have abundant life here. But there's another side of that, friend. If you reject Him, you will be lost for eternity. It's eternal judgment. It's part of the gospel. And if we're going to preach the gospel, we got to preach it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything. The things that make you feel good, the things that make you want to hit your face. And when he said three, that place came unglued and people came running down the aisles and screaming and fell down in the front of that church. My friend, listen to me. That's how serious it is. That's how serious it is right now. But you know what? People are walking around like zombies. They're walking around in a catatonic state. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Everything is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. Fiddling while America's falling down around our ears. Friend, this is not the same America. Is going to be a year of miracles. It's going to be a year of supernatural demonstration and manifestation of the power of God. We're going to see the glory of God in 2016 like we've never seen it. Because where sin doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. There's going to be an unlocking of darkness that is coming. But in the midst of it all, there's going to be a glory of God that is greater. Greater. I'm not saying any of this to cause you to fear. I'm saying this to wake us up. I'm saying this because God says, I put you in a place to have a people that are not just prepared to go to heaven, but prepared to go for whatever we got to go through before Jesus comes. He said, come into your secret place. Why? Because he said wrath is getting ready to come. And I want you to be safe. So he says, come in to the ark. Friend, this is my message to you today. I couldn't get away from it. The Holy Spirit resounded it in my spirit over and over and over. He said, tell my people, run to the ark. Run to the ark.
Rokose namaha. Ilarosi ne isikarosine. Aroso lalakake iroki. Ai, ikae nehe. Rasa nai. Rai, rasi kalaya. Ilasi. Ai, leke nahai. Rose. Ro, rishika. Rokonda bahasata.
Come into the place that I prepared for you, said the Lord. Come into the secret place. Come into the hiding place, there, God, where you will be safe from the wrath that is coming upon the wickedness of this world. For it is true, saith the Lord, that the cup of my wrath is being filled. It is true, saith the Lord, that the cup of my wrath is being turned over and being poured out. And I am sending advance warning to those that I love, saith God. And I'm sending advance warning to any who would have ears to hear what the Spirit saith. Come into your secret place. Run into the ark of safety, saith the Lord. For it is the only place that will be safe, because this is not the world's wrath, saith God. This is not the world's hostility. This is my wrath, saith God. You could hide from the world's wrath. You could hide from the intensity and from the designs and the purposes of the world. But this is my indignation, saith God. And I have only provided one hiding place, and that is in my Son. That's in the Son, and that's under the blood, and that's in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I say to you, my people, run to the ark. Run to the ark of safety. While there is time, saith God, run to the ark. While mercy is holding the door open and while mercy is pleading, run to the ark. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what I want to do today? I just want to open this whole altar area. I just feel the Holy Spirit wants us to run to Him. He wants us to run to the ark today. He wants us to get in a place of safety. He wants us to press in. He wants us to get up close to Him. You've been living too far from Him. You've been living too distant. You've been living too far away from Him. You got to get close to Him. Come on, come on, come on. I'm not just talking about sinners. I'm talking about everybody. I'm talking about everybody. And so we need to get up close. In 2016, my friend, you're going to have to walk closer to God than you've ever walked in your life. You're going to have to stay. You're going to have to turn off some television programs. You might even have to turn off the cable. I don't know what you're going to have to do to keep your mind pure, but you're going to have to make some major decisions in 2016, because we've got a decision to make. We're going to come into that secret place. Your life depends on it. Your eternity depends on it. Your children, your sons, your daughters, your husbands, your wives, they're depending on you tonight. They're depending on you today to run to the ark, to get in that place of safety, and plead for God to have mercy on their soul. Plead for God to have mercy on our world. Plead for God to have mercy on the United States of America. Oh God, be merciful. Oh God, be merciful. Oh God. Lord, as you're pouring out your wrath, God, as your indignation is being poured out, God. Lord, be merciful, Lord God. Be merciful to your people, oh God. Oh,
Oh God, we want to lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, Lord, and run with patience the race Whatever we got to do, Lord, we're going to do it, Lord. We're going to lay aside every weight of sin. Oh God, we're going to separate ourselves. We're going to sanctify ourselves, Lord. We're going to monitor what we think about. We're going to monitor what we look at, God. We're going to monitor what we let in our houses, God. Oh, closely, we're going to live from the secret place. We're going to live, Lord, from your presence, God. We're not going to live from a distance, Lord God, looking in from a distance, Lord. But we're going to live from your presence, God.
We thank you for your mercy today, God. We thank you, Lord, that you love us enough, Lord, to send us an alarm. You love us enough, Lord, to warn us, oh God. You love us enough, Lord, to tell us ahead of time, God, so we can get in that secret place, Lord. So we can get in that secret place. So we can hide from the indignation, God.
Yes.
Share this word. The book of Joel chapter 2 tells about some terrible things that are coming, an army that's coming that's hostile and violent, and strong people set in battle array. The fire devoureth before them, behind them flame burneth. The land is the Garden of Eden, before them, behind them is like a desolate wilderness, and nothing shall escape. That is, nothing that is outside of the ark. But here's what the Lord said. He said, therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. And then he says this, blow the trumpet in Zion. That's the alarm. Sound the alarm. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then it ends by saying this, then the Lord will be jealous for his people in his land and pity his people. Oh, glory to God. What does that mean? That means there is hope. We don't throw up our hands and say, well, it's hope. There's nothing we can do. My friend, there's something you can do. As long as you got breath, you can pray. And as long as we can pray, there's a God in heaven that can answer prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand with me today? Hallelujah. I pray today that this attitude of the Spirit, the attitude of this word, will not just be something that you take with you for 3 hours, but that all through this next year, and as we continue on, you'll keep this attitude in your spirit. Run to the ark. Run to the ark. Stay in that place of safety. Storm is coming. Hide yourself from the indignation. You know, it's one thing the Bible says to fall into the hands of man. But when you fall into the hands of an angry God, ain't no one can pull you out. We need to pray for America. We need to pray for our churches. I'm asking you, as a pastor of this church, pray for me. To hear God, what He's saying, and for the boldness to speak it.
And pray for leaders today that are under attack. Pray for spiritual leaders. Pray for pastors and men and women of God that are being pushed into compromise. They're compromising. Pray for them that they'll come back to the truth and they'll come back to the purity of the gospel. And be bold and declare what God says. Because my friend, listen to me. If we don't tell the truth, the Holy Spirit cannot work His work. If we don't tell the homosexual that they're sinning, they can't be delivered from their sin. If we don't tell the fornicator that they're sinning, then they can't be delivered from their sin. We can't just tell them that grace makes allowances for it all. It doesn't. But there is a blood that can deliver them from it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Oh God, it's been a delight to be in your house today. It's been a delight to be in your presence, Lord. And even though the word has been strong, Lord, it's been a delight to know that you love us enough to tell us a truth that will deliver our souls. Father, thank you for everyone here today, God. Thank you for their commitment, not to us, Lord, not just to church attendance, but to your word and to your presence, Lord. Help us, oh God, this week, run to the ark. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid to tell others, run to the ark. For this is the time, Lord, to be serious. This is the time, Lord, for us to be aggressive. This is the time for us to not walk, but run to the ark. In Jesus' name, amen. 5 o'clock tonight, come back. Let's see what the Lord has in store. God bless you. We love you. Appreciate you.